Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Previously on Who Killed Amy Mihaljevic, a 30-year retrospective.
We just passed the 17th anniversary in the disappearance of Amy Mihaljevic. On October 28th, 1989, she was kidnapped in broad daylight near a plaza right across the street from the Bay Village Police Department. People in Northeast Ohio will remember this case very well. Who killed Amy?
Who killed Amy Mihaljevic? It's a question that has baffled investigators now for 17 years.
Sweet little girl from quiet Bay Village kidnapped, murdered.
It has been just over 24 years since Amy Mihaljevic disappeared from the Bay Square shopping center in Bay Village. Her body was found in an Ashland County field in February of 1990. Through the years, several possible suspects have been looked at, but there has never been an arrest.
Over the past 25 years, investigators conducted thousands of interviews but couldn't close the case. The killer knew so much about the family. There's now a renewed focus on those who knew Amy's mother, Margaret.
We have a range of about 25 to 35, roughly, for this individual.
Okay.
Differing clothing descriptions, different hair descriptions, one with glasses, one without glasses. I think what we can safely say is that it's a white male, average build, who is probably in that 25 to 35 year age. That seemed to be fairly consistent.
I'm not surprised that we still get calls. I'm disappointed that we haven't gotten further along in the case.
Of course, we all wonder, is it because of the Amy Mihaljevic case? I don't know.
Obviously, you don't like to see these kind of things happen, and you try to teach your kids to watch out for these kind of things. It's the kind of thing that it happens.
If anybody has seen her get into a vehicle, we need, I think that would help quite a bit.
With Margaret leaving and her passing, then I'm the only one left.
I had in my mind long before then that she wasn't going to be found alive.
Well, back to Amy. So Amy was a can-do person, very smart. She was very book smart. Did well in school. Athletics, horses, and school, and just usually pretty quiet. If she didn't know you, she wasn't going to talk to you.
And I don't have any personal stake in it that I have to do it. I just want somebody to do it. I want somebody to be able to call Mark and say, we think we've got the guy, and we're going to put some closure to this, and we're going to get this done. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter to me. I just think he deserves that kind of closure. The community deserves that closure. And again, the guy needs to be locked up. It's the bottom line.
We think they're getting closer. We don't know. That's always our carrot in front of our face, you know, that they're getting close.
The murder of Amy Mihaljevic in Bay Village. It has remained unsolved for almost 30 years.
Well, apparently, we've talked about this. Apparently, a lot of people are confident.
Hello and welcome to another very special bonus episode of Who Killed Amy Mihaljevic. I am your host, Bill Huffman. And this week's guest has been through more than anybody in the past 30 years. I'm talking about Amy's father, Mark Mihaljevic. In the beginning of this nightmare, Margaret Mihaljevic, Amy's mother, was the face of the investigation. She was all over television and the newspapers and was always willing to give an interview. Unfortunately, Margaret had some health issues and passed away nearly 20 years ago, some say from a broken heart. Ever since then, the person carrying the torch for Amy is her father, Mark. I have spoken with him before, and you can tell this has been extremely hard on him since he isn't as gregarious as Margaret was. In fact, I'd say Mark has set aside his shyness and is now in the role that Margaret once held. Mark worked for Buick as a sales representative when Amy was abducted. He is originally from Wisconsin and has lived in the Cleveland area for nearly 35 years. He has taken time out of his day, and after a week of constant anniversary interviews, I feel lucky to have the chance to speak with him today. So let's jump into my conversation with Amy's father, Mark Mihaljevic.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you so much for joining me, Mr. Mihaljevic. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Are you surviving through this horrible 3 weeks of endless coverage of Amy? I mean, this has got to be a...
Well, that's been the situation all along. You got to keep moving and you got to keep going. And it sure brings back a lot of sad memories.
You know, I watch a lot. You know, I work for News 5 now, but I do watch all the segments, and I feel like sometimes it puts you in just such a tough spot, you know, to have to bring those memories back up. And I know it's something that you have to do to keep the story out there, but I feel for you, and just, you know, it's just something that nobody should go through. You shouldn't have to be going through this. This is just ridiculous. But
But it's you got to be thankful that it's still out in the public eye, and people are still thinking about it, and people are still trying to resolve the case.
Yeah, how do you feel about the current state of the investigation?
Holy mackerel! There's been more stuff on TV here the last 2 weeks than I could ever imagine, and I can never and never will fault the police or the media or anybody else that's been involved, because everybody sure worked their self to the bottom end to try to resolve this.
Yeah, there's definitely a real push to, in my opinion, find resolve with this case. And I'll not use the word closure, because I understand that that's not something that can happen in your situation, unfortunately. But how is everything else with your life? Everything, you know, Jason, I've seen Jason on TV more than I've seen him in ever before. So he must be doing...
I've seen him more on TV than I've ever seen him in the last 10 years. No, I'm just teasing. But Jason's doing good. Him and the boys are pretty tight. Him and his two boys are a real tight bond. And here in a couple of weeks, the three of them are going on a cruise together, and they're doing good.
That's really good. So Jason lives down near Akron?
Outside of Kent, really.
You know, that was one of the things that people have asked me throughout the last year, you know, how's Jason doing, you know, because he was kind of, you protected him very well throughout this whole experience. And
yeah, Jason has become a lot more proactive. I saw some of the stuff he left on Facebook and stuff. He's been, in the last, I don't know, 5 years, but maybe as a timeline, become a lot more proactive in resolving the Amy case.
Do you think that that is something that it took him a while to, you know, just be able to look back at that memory or that part of his life and maybe...
Well, yeah, I think you're right there. I agree with that. But as you get older, you get more proactive, I think. Sometimes you come out of your box, you come out of your shell a lot easier.
I mean, that's one thing that, you know, having met you in person on the few times we met, it definitely feels like that you're not nearly as gregarious as maybe Margaret was back in the day, but you kind of put that all to the side and you do this for the greater good.
Well, I take that as a compliment, and you got to do what you got to do, and whatever it is.
It's true, you do. I mean, in your position, is there something that the media could do, or do you feel like that they're doing everything in their power to keep the attention on the case?
Well, I think they're doing everything in their power. I think right now everybody's sort of a little handcuffed on it right now. It's sort of at a, I don't know how to say it. It's just everybody's doing what they can to help resolve it as far as the media and the police. And there's just a little bit of a lull. But I even hate to use that word. There's just a little, I don't know how to say it. Just it's going to happen. That's all I can say. It's going to happen. And
ebbs and flows.
It's going to be a heck of a deal. It's going to be a closure, yes.
And when we talked first, we talked about your confidence in the case. And as far as, when I just talked to Chief Spetzel, he mentioned that he is going to be retiring in the spring, but he hopes to come back and be able to work on the task force.
Yep.
How would you feel about that? I mean, that would be...
Oh, you know, the last time I talked to Chief, maybe a month ago or somewhere, we were talking and on the phone, and we were talking about his retirement, and he's got one child that's 23 years old. I mean, the only thing that kid has ever known in his lifetime is something about Amy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's been brought up at the dinner table or whatever. So it's amazing. I'm still in awe that one person or the chief has been involved in this case from day one. I just hard to fathom that.
It's remarkable, especially in the way the bureaucracies work with promotions. Yep. And chain of command, and the fact that he was able to, yep, climb the ladder, still be a part, yep, of it. And I mean, he is the driving force at the station in my mind. I mean, he is the encyclopedia of the case. And when I go and talk to him, he emphasizes the fact that just a couple pieces away, you know, the one thing that he emphasized was being chief, he just hasn't had the opportunity to get his hands on it in about 5 years. So he's hoping that, you know, that he does get that chance.
Well, and that's true. But here again, he's got a lot of highly qualified people working with him in the department that are highly involved in the case, and he's got good help.
They do. And I like the fact that the special agent for the FBI is from the area as well, because again, like, when you have something that's so, that hits close to home like this, to, I mean, people like myself, people like Lisa, you know, Special Agent Hack, and
yeah,
obviously Chief Spetzel, you know, there does become a driving force to see resolution. Like you mentioned, his son only experiencing Amy.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it just would be, like you said, it would be like Christmas and every holiday all together times 1,000.
Yeah.
I want it more than that. I want it more for you than anything else. I mean, just having
that.
Well,
I appreciate it.
You don't understand. Like, that's the thing about being a reporter, is that you really don't know. You only get to see a little bit on the news, but just getting to know you on the personal side of things, it's just really, it makes it that much more personal to me. You are carrying the torch through just an absolute terrible darkness.
That's true, but I'm not the only one carrying the torch. And as we discussed before, there's been so much effort in between the, like I said before, so much effort put into this. I'm just trying to help whatever I can do, and I'm not carrying the torch. I don't.
You're keeping the light lit, is what you're doing.
Right, right. That's true.
I mean, you think about the fact that Margaret's been gone for nearly 20 years, and you've really been the main go-to person. And I mean, your day-to-day life, I mean, how are you doing? Like, last time I was over, you guys had the dollhouse and you still have the dollhouse in the middle of the room?
Oh yeah, we got the dollhouse. We're trying to sell part of it. It's going to go up on eBay here a little bit. We're not selling the whole thing, just the addition. let's see what else.
Did you get the tractor running?
The tractor was running. The tractor made it to Wisconsin.
No way.
For a 30 mile parade, I made it and went back to its birthplace. The parade started in West Dallas and was supposed to go down to a city in Wisconsin called Union Grove.
Okay.
And I made it about a mile and a half, and the thing it just quit. But
that's
awesome. Shows you what I know. It was out in one heck of a rainstorm the night before the parade. I had it over at my friend's farm, and it poured. And I said, before we take this thing, it was about 30 miles away. I said, before we take this thing to West Dallas, I said, we're going to fired up and gave it a little shot of ether, and it was running good. Got it up there and in the stage area, it was running good. Went about a mile and a half, and the thing quit. But it stayed in Wisconsin. It's back at its birthplace.
Nope. But what's it doing up there? I mean, I know that's where it's
well,
from.
Well, you know, well, there was a big meet up there. That's why we went up there. But there was a big meet, and there's my friend's been farming up there ever since I've known him for 50 years, and there's a thing up there called Future Farmers of America, and every year they get a tractor somehow, and the kids rebuild it, paint it, rebuild it, get it running, and the Alice was donated to the Future Farmers of America out of I don't know if it's Racine County or Burlington or whatever, but it was donated.
Well, look at you contributing to the Future Farmers of America.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's that is taking the tractor full circle. Let's take a break and hear from this week's sponsor, BetterHelp.com. And Georgette's got to be thrilled.
Georgette's got to be thrilled. She said we didn't know we had such a big garage. So I don't know.
Let's take a break to hear from this week's sponsor. I've had to deal with my fair share of anxiety and depression in my life, and I'm happy to say that there is now an easy way to get help. Because if there is something that interferes with your happiness or is holding you back from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can now connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's convenient because it needs to be in our hectic lives. So go get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. BetterHelp really is there for you, because they have 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states. And guess what? If you aren't happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time. There are even apps available for your computer or smartphone. And whether you're suffering from anxiety, depression, anger, stress, relationship issues, sleeping issues, family conflicts, LGBT matters, self-esteem issues, they literally have a licensed professional counselor for you. And of course, everything you share is confidential. The best part is, it's truly an affordable option. Who Killed Amy Mahalovic listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code WHO. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/WHO. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get you matched with a counselor you'll love. Again, for 10% off, go to betterhelp.com/WHO. What's next for Mark Mahalovic? I mean, you're retired, so I mean, what, like,
guys yeah, are old retired guy.
And you guys are just you know, enjoying.
It's sort of funny. I told Georgette, Georgette tolerated the tractor, but it wasn't one of her love affairs.
Oh, I know.
But now I told her we're going to get a Jeep. So we're going to buy a Jeep of some sort, and something I can mess around with, something we can both ride around in and jump in and go get an ice cream cone or something.
Old Jeep?
But, yeah, in the 80s. I had a 46 Jeep, but that's too old. But in the 80s, something, I don't know. But anyways.
Like a CJ or something?
Yeah, CJ, but a two-door. It's got to have a rag top on it. No hardcover and this stuff to pop around it. So,
that's fun.
We have a electric, one of those battery-powered cars that the kids ride around in here that I picked up. And it is a Jeep. So when the tractor left the garage, we put that Jeep right in the middle of where the real Jeep is going to go, so Georgette can warm up to it a little bit more.
Oh, that's hysterical! So. I'm sure it looks very proportioned.
Yeah, pink Jeep. The grandkids love it. So.
Oh yeah, that's. I always wanted one. I never got to have a power wheel. That was one of my.
No, me neither. Well, I'm way past that age. I always wanted one of those pedal tractors when I was a kid, you know, where you've seen them.
Yeah, I had a pedal, my dad's old pedal fire truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Now, it was like one of those things that's like, you can tell why things got improved as safety features became more abundant.
Oh yeah,
you know, you'd be riding that thing and you'd just be hitting your knees and scraping your knees and
Somehow we all made it. I don't know how.
Yeah, you know, you think about with the way that they treat children these days, sometimes it's, you know,
it's good. Some of it's good.
Yeah, I mean, safety, and obviously we cannot discount that. It's just
some of it's good, but somehow, like, my son-in-law is really into health food, this, and eating this, and eating that, and yeah, some of the stuff we ate when I was growing up wasn't real good for you, but somehow, somehow a lot of us baby boomers have made it this far, eating crazy stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's like, you know, people, I just think it's one of those things that, like, from, you know, my dad's situation, it was just like, it's just, that's your time. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But,
yep, exactly.
You know, but, you know, not to say that that's any bit, you know, things like crime. Yeah,
I see where you are now, have a full-time job, huh?
Well, I'm not full-time. I'm part-time at Channel 5, but I am I'm part-time podcasting as well. So I kind of...
Wow, cool.
Anyway, yeah, it's been good. I actually took Amy's story down to New Orleans. I was at a...
Oh, wow.
Like a convention down there. So I had a whole table with all the...
Wow.
I took...
Wow, thanks.
You know, all the... missing posters, like I made these postcards.
Wow.
With all the items that are gone, and then, you know, I passed those out at the convention, and distributed about 1,000 of those, and yeah, and it's you know, what I did was I printed it out on like a postcard, so it's like a nice glossy, you know, but it's the FBI poster that gives the whole background of the story.
Thanks.
And it's got, you know, call this number for. And so that was definitely helpful as far as getting more exposure. And
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Oh, I'm riding this one. This one's not. I mean, this is personal to me. It's this is not.
Wow, thanks.
I'm not letting this one go. I mean, I've done so many different episodes about the case and talked to so many different people about it, and I've been on other shows about it. And
yes.
You know, there's been other podcast stuff that's reached gosh knows how many people, but it's definitely something that I will fight the battle with you until this is resolved.
Well, that's extremely appreciated. Thank you.
Well, you are one of the nicest guys that I've met. So you've just been through so much that it just is. It's unfair that you have to live with us on a daily basis. So, you know, I don't know if you had any final thoughts or anything you wanted to say about Amy and how you feel about the 30-year.
30 years, isn't that something? You know what, Bill? When people say anniversary, when I think of the word anniversary, I think like you've been married 30 years, or you're 30 years old, or as a, I don't know how else to put it. I know that's, I guess all anniversaries aren't happy. How's that?
I guess I've been looking, I've been searching for a better word for that as well, because actually in my notes here I have a question written, and it says, you know, halfway through it says 30-year. And I bet, comma, don't call it an anniversary of an interview.
Yeah, but it is, you know, I guess.
It is, but it's more of a, it's one of those milestone, I don't want to say milestone either, but it's one of those points in time that an opportunity for people to to look back.
Yeah, but
I mean, so your final thoughts on going through all this with the 30-year?
Well, you know, it's amazing. Amazing how it makes it seem like it didn't happen 30 years ago. It's been around for so long and been involved so long, and people been involved so long that 30 years went by like in a blink of an eye, really. So it'll be solved, and we'll have another round of media, and it'll be a lot.
Well, that would be a little bit different.
It'll be a lot more happy on my half, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hope that is the absolute next step, and we have somebody that we can hold accountable and put an end to this tragedy. And
well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, and Mark, I do appreciate you calling me today, and I know that.
Hey, thanks. I'm sure Georgette told you that I just figured out how to turn my laptop off, my iPad off. I didn't know where the switch was for that thing.
Technology is a. It's a wonky thing. You don't, you know, you're not always.
Don't strip me, that's for sure.
Well, it's, I fight with my mom about it all the time. So it's, I'm like, listen, sometimes you just got to unplug it and plug it back in.
that's what I was told. I was having trouble with my iPad, and that's what somebody said, unplug it. That's what my brother-in-law said. He's my IT guy. Unplug it. Try again.
Trust me, I'm the IT guy for my mom, and it's
I'm
happy to do it. You know, not having my father around anymore, it's I'm more than happy to answer the call.
Yep. That's what kids are for, to be part of the family.
Absolutely. And I'm very sorry that you've had to go through what you've been through. And just thank you again.
We've all learned a lot. Yeah. And still learning a lot. And when it happens, it'll be. I mean, how do you thank everybody for all the efforts behind the scenes? I mean, there's people I haven't even mentioned behind the scenes that have been donating and offering help and whatever. I mean, there's it's like when you win the World Series, who do you thank? The big people, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that got you to that point.
Yeah, well, we can only hope that we can have that. I don't want to call it a celebration, but it will be a
closure.
It will be a great day.
Yep, it sure will be, Bill.
All right. Well, okay, Mark, I'll let you get on with your day. And
oh, thanks. I appreciate talking to you. Thank you.
All right. Well, I look forward to it. And
thanks again. Okay. Anytime you want to talk again, just holler, and we'll hook up. It's no problem.
Thank you so much, and tell Georgette thank you as well.
I will tell Georgette thank you. You bet.
All right,
thanks,
Mark.
A lot.
You have a great day.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I really cannot thank Mark Mihaljevic enough for joining me today. This has been a whirlwind few weeks for him, as well as a very, very long 30 years. After speaking with him, though, I do believe that he is still confident that this case will be solved. Just like when I spoke with Chief Spetzel, and he mentioned that they were only a few pieces away from the answer to this longing question. Mark Mihaljevic has an obvious deep appreciation for the investigators and the media that have helped keep Amy's story out there. And this may not be as common as you think, because each year, the family members are asked to pretty much dredge up all the old memories that they had about their loved one and have to be reminded that they aren't there. And Mark is open and honest, and as a reporter, that is so refreshing. He may come off as a little shy, but that's just who he is. He didn't ask for his daughter to be abducted and have his family thrust into the spotlight for the worst possible reason. It goes to show you the kind of strength it takes to fight this battle each and every day. Interviewing family members of victims is never easy, because you don't want to feel like you're exploiting their situation. I still find it difficult to walk that fine line, even after doing this for so long. So again, many thanks to Mark and his wife, Georgette. She really is his rock. Now, all we can do is hope that technology will catch up with the science and DNA that they do have, and we will one day find an answer to who killed Amy Mihaljevic. So thank you again for listening to this very special episode. If you enjoy this independently produced podcast, please help support the show by clicking on the donate button on the right-hand side of whokilledamymihaljevic.com. Or you can always donate via the Venmo app with my username at BillHuffman3. Any amount is appreciated, and it does help keep the podcast running. If you enjoy this show, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you listen to your favorite shows. It will help support this show as well as keep Amy's story in the spotlight. If you'd like to stay up to date on the cases I've covered and the new shows that I have in the pipeline, like my passion case, please follow me on Twitter at BillHuffman3. If you have any new information, I beg you to contact the Bay Village Police Department at 440-871-1234. The FBI is still offering a reward of up to $25,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the individual or individuals responsible for the death of Amy Renee Mihaljevic. So again, anyone with information concerning this case, please contact the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Thank you again so much for listening, and until next time, be safe.
Hello everyone. My name is Tom Kearns, and I host the Anglo-Saxon England podcast, where I cover the history and culture of England from the departure of the Romans in the 5th century to the Norman conquest in 1066. So far, we've surveyed the collapse of Roman rule in Britain, the migration of the Anglo-Saxons, and the history of Northumbria from its beginnings in the mists of legend to its destruction at the hands of Viking raiders in the 9th century. I hope you'll come and give it a go.
Thank you so much again for listening to this very special episode of Who Killed Amy Mihaljevic?
If you enjoy this independently produced podcast, please help support the show by clicking on the donate button on the right-hand side of whokilledamymihalovic.com or via the Venmo app with my username at BillHuffman3. Any amount is appreciated, and it helps keep the podcast running. If you enjoy this podcast, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That will also help support the show and keep Amy's story in the spotlight. If you'd like to stay up to date on the cases I've covered and the new shows in the pipeline, please follow me on Twitter at BillHuffman3. If you have any new information about the death of Amy Renee Mihaljevic, I beg you to contact the Bay Village Police Department at 440-871-1234. The FBI is still offering a reward of up to $25,000 for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the individual or individuals responsible for the death of Amy Renee Mihaljevic. So anyone with information concerning this case, please contact the FBI at 1-800-CALL-FBI. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, be safe.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderich.
And me. Murder in House 2. A new podcast from Crowd Network.
I'm an American vigilante. I have a question for you. What would you do if someone you cared about was abducted, taken from you? Would you call me? Would you care about how I got them back? Download American Vigilante now.